We are happy to announce that this episode of the SW Show is partially brought to you by Humble Bundle. Well, not really. We are part of the Humble Bundle referral program, and we just wanted to say that if you like really cheap games and maybe helping charity pending the Humble thing going on, all you have to do is go to humblebundle.com/?partner equals SWW. That's right, humblebundle.com/?partner equals SWW. And you just do your normal stuff, and it just kind of helps us get a couple bucks here and there. Maybe it helps AJ get his lights. Maybe it's my camera. Maybe we actually pay Corey for helping us out. But again, if you're going to go buy games anyway, it might be worth checking out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 65 of the SWW Show. It's me, AJ. I got Mike with me. We're doing this one live. So if my, attention kind of...
Screw it, we're doing it live.
...wanes at times, it's because I'm trying to, play a game. Speaking of games...
It makes total sense, but yeah, we're here to talk about, speaking of games. Let's talk about, let's talk about the elephant in the room then. Let's talk about, the finals, you've put in objectively more than I have hour-wise, but it seems like something we're both kind of...
Not really much. I mean, I played enough to kind of figure out what's going on, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fair. So what is your thought? So to me, the finals is very interesting because it's a freedom shooter, has those kind of counter-strike, but like it does play super well. Like I was actually very impressed, I think, by the quality of it. And I thought the like just generifying it down to the like medium heavy, like which I'm contending with this is like level of like simplicity, I think is kind of nice in a game like this, where like some games get so up their fireworks that you have to be like, okay, what the fuck does this mean when it says this type of name? Was this classy? This game's just like, we're going to tell you, be very direct and just kind of tell you and just go. I think it's kind of a nice change of this kind of genre.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that kind of almost Call of Duty-esque where you can learn the maps because the basics of the map don't change. But then like there's different modifiers that you could have that it's like, oh, the cash points are floating now, or you've got low gravity, or the game just crashes. Which is always fun. So, yeah, I mean, it's got its issues, right?
Like, I've definitely had some crashing issues with
him. Mine just shit the bed. When we streamed this the first time, yours crashed and then mine crashed. So it's
maybe
not
like when I was playing it, I have crashes stuff. Like, yeah, it's technically surprisingly intensive, I think, too. I think it's a negative of it. Like, I was kind of surprised for, like, relatively looking at it, like, how much it feels like my computer is fighting to keep it up. But yeah, as a whole, though, I do think it's a good game, and I think, especially for a free game, it's definitely worth your time. I don't think there's any, like, we have concerns and problems. I don't think there's any, like, objective, like, you shouldn't play this level of concerns in this game.
Yeah. It's fun. It'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a, excuse me, a ways to go.
Such a sick time.
But, I mean, also, you have to remember, like, Fortnite took years to get where it was even fun. Or, a bunch of people were playing it, I should say.
That's very true.
I mean, I remember hearing about Fortnite. Like
you had that level of, like,
I don't know how many years you know, I think at one point in time there were more people that had played Fortnite than people that knew what Fortnite was. Because it was one of those weird things where it was like, okay, it's a zombie wave-based survival game, but there might be a battle royale aspect to it. You know, there were just so many questions around.
The way I think of it is, I don't know, Cliff Bleszinski, if you remember, announced that game at an E3 stage. That's how long ago the game was announced.
Yeah, I think it was almost a decade from when it was announced to when it became what it was. But,
yeah, so that's very fair. And I'll be curious kind of see how this game kind of evolved over that same time period.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing on your end is you've been kind of running your way continually through Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
Infinite Wealth. Is there anything new on that game you want to talk about?
Dude, I streamed that game recently while you were at GDC. And I was live for 2 hours. I think I played 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. The rest was cutscenes.
Oh, I was gonna say, what are you doing this? Okay.
So
that is wild.
Yeah, it definitely was approaching.
You feel that's still good.
Oh shit. You know, it was approaching that level of like Metal Gear esque. You know, I just think back to like Metal Gear 4 had, I think, a
level of cutscenes.
Hour and a half long cutscene that you couldn't skip. And I guess, like, if you had watched all of the stuff that was on the TV part of 4, I think that's like 3.5 hours long. So, you know, Metal Gear is still the definitive long-ass cutscene game. And Metal Gear, I mean, the Yakuza games have always had long-ass cutscenes. You know, that part isn't weird. It's just... The problem was I started streaming basically at the end of a chapter. So it was like this big exposition dump. Exposition, there we go. Dump. Words are hard, you know? Especially when you're trying to shoot people with a shotgun. Shit. And it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, now I can button through the cutscene. And then you're going, okay, you know, they have, for whatever reason, there's basically two levels of cutscenes to Yakuza games, where it's one you can button mash through,
okay,
and one that you can't.
Yes, one is a video, more video game, one is like action game.
Yeah, one of them is definitely the
pretty rendered.
Oh yeah, like
most beautiful thing.
But it wouldn't surprise me if I spend another probably 60 hours in that game. For a multitude of reasons, right? Like, it's a game that I, series specifically, that I absolutely adore. And this one's very fun. And it's got things that could definitely be time sinks. You know, I haven't hopped back into the Animal Crossing Island Manager since I first started that section. But, I mean, that's basically a whole game in itself. In terms of, like, you could spend as much time as you wanted, I think, in that mode. So, yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good.
Perfect. And the last game on my list is, I played a bunch of Against the Storm, which I think I mentioned, like, right at the end last time, which is interesting. So it's a city builder game, but, like, more kind of, like era kind of, like, you're in, like, a forest kind of dealing with a bunch of, like, mystical creatures. But, like, the big twist is there's, like, this big timer kind of going on. That's the storm part. And the idea is, like, you're doing these colonies for, like, a leader. So you have, like, so much time to, like, appease her with certain objectives. And you kind of keep going this process. And the neat part, because it's a roguelike, so, like, once you lose or whatever, you got a bunch of points on the process. Your goal is then to kind of upgrade your stuff and get access to more types of tent islands, more types of buildings, upgrade buildings further, and just kind of continue this process. And your eventual goal is in one run to do so many of these towns in a row. So that was a very interesting twist on a city builder. And what I kind of liked about it too is, I think city builders have this problem where, like, later in the game, you're like, okay, what, like, it's very self-driven. To a point where you're like, okay, like, I've done all these real objectives. And I kind of like this game of, like, it kind of lets you go through that loop a bunch, but it still gives you a bunch of new things, like, every time. So it's like, there's still, like, new stuff you're doing, or it's different than kind of before, which I think is kind of a very nice change of pace than a lot of, I think, recent city builders.
Yeah, so I mean,
I say that's something, if that's something people recommend, I recommend.
Also, like, basically, to be a successful city builder right now, your game just needs to run. I mean, I think City Skylines 2 is still having performance issues.
Six months since release. Yeah, I've been hearing some weird stuff with that game. Like, after the first one, it was, like, loved by everyone. With the second one, I've been hearing a lot of questionable things.
Yeah, a lot of people are realizing, like, it didn't need a sequel. Like,
which it really didn't. Like, honestly. So yeah, I can leave you on that. Okay, let's jump into what we've seen, and I've got, there are two things on here, and I don't know which is the dumb one to start with. Let's start with the true dumb one. How is John Cena in Ricky Stanky?
Stanicky.
Stanicky?
So that movie's actually...
About what is this?
Yeah, the movie's actually way more fun than it has any right to be. I mean, it's damn stupid, don't get me wrong, but, you know, combining Efron and Cena was a very big get for Amazon, because it's, those guys just work so well together, and it's hilarious. Andrew Santino is in it as well, and he's all right. You know, he's not my favorite of the, what's the proper way to call him? Like, of the Rogan comedians. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Him, Dan Soder, which mm-hmm. Dan Soder's in Billions. Andrew Santino's been in a decent amount of stuff. Bill Burr in mm-hmm. Mandalorian. So.
It's still wild to me that, like, the thing that I feel like his first, like TV-ish film, like, that acting role had to have been Breaking Bad that people think Lee cared about.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, he was in Breaking Bad before.
Which is so funny.
Mandalorian.
But Mandalorian else? Like, recently Mandalorian. I feel like, yeah, like, his, like, cause he doesn't do that much, like, TV and film.
No.
The other thing that I had to ask you about that's on this. Tell us about The Horror, which is this, I'm assuming this is the remake of Roadhouse.
Yeah. It's all right.
How is Jake Gyllenhaal and McGregor?
I mean, Gyllenhaal is amazing. McGregor looks like he's on a coke bender the entire time. I swear at least half of his dialogue had to be ADR'd. The sound mixing is so
bad. Besides the trailer, I've seen like nothing in this film. Is it at all a remake? Is it completely different? Like, how does it compare?
It's a modernization. So, okay. I mean, it definitely takes notions from the original Roadhouse. But, mm-hmm. I mean, like, yes, Gyllenhaal's character is an underground fighter, but also he was a UFC fighter. Like, that's where he got his start. So, you know, it's a little more, like, set in modern reality and, like, you know, so some of the things around it are, you know, modernized.
So, did you like it? Or, like, how are you feeling about this?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I would watch it again. You know, it's not like I wouldn't want to watch it again or watch it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. That sounds at least a good time. Last thing before we get into actual new stuff is, Chad, obviously, out of the GDC, San Francisco, I'm just going to say, as much as, like, you know how we all have a cartoon image of San Francisco in our heads?
Yeah.
There are times that city really lives up to that image, and the other times the city is pretty nice. but I do stick with the, it is wild how expensive anything in that city is, even food and stuff. But otherwise, yeah. Tuesday's a good time, caught up with my little friends, saw a bunch of cool games, as you imagine, learned a bunch of tech stuff, and then letting off people. But what's interesting to me, which is the big one, that I think was kind of big discussion kind of going on, is people felt a lot pretty optimistic at GDC. It almost feels like maybe the layoffs are at least slowing down or somewhat. So it'd be kind of interesting to see.
I mean, there's not many more people that you could lay off, so.
And that's part of it. Could be is like we've kind of really done what we can before you start shutting down big studios. And no one seems to be under the impression that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, yes, like the industry was going to self-correct after COVID. Because so many industries overhired. So that part isn't surprising. You know, the part that is surprising is kind of the ruthlessness with how it was handled.
Yeah.
And kind of the suddenness, right? Like,
yeah, and it was such a short time span of everyone getting hit. I think that was a big one.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, you know, we are all doing this at once. And, you know, there's going to be no
because of that.
Yeah, there's going to be no breathing period for people to kind of try to get back on their feet. We're just going to take everyone all out at once. Which, in a way, is a smart move for the industry. Because I think...
Yeah, but it hurts.
Yeah.
Well, it hurts developers, I think.
In a weird way, it's smart to do that because it helps the industry heal faster. right? It's the difference between ripping the Band-Aid off all at once versus slowly pulling it off.
Like, and there is arguments for both in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah.
Because the problem could be, especially, like, if you do it too slow, is, like, you actually might snowball get worse because now people's money problems get worse, too.
Yeah.
Depending who it is. Like, obviously, people just want the check, but, like, the little ones who are actually, like, watching the bottom line, like, reality of watching that thing tick down, like that could be a big difference. If they lay off 30% now or 10%, because it turns out they're actually spending a lot more money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it works. The industry is going to be fine. It's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I wanted to say, too, which I thought was pretty cool, is so the first day of the Expo Hall on Wednesday last week, they did, at, like, lunchtime, a live orchestra of, like, a bunch of different game stuff. And Austin Wintry was the conductor, and then I was supposed to be Troy Baker, and that was a really cool time. And I wanted to shout that out because I'm hoping they bring the back end next year. Because they brought on... God, who's the composer for Hades? When they brought him out, they brought out the composer for Kingdom Hearts, who actually was winning an award that night. She also did, like, Street Fighter 2. And they brought out, like, a few others. And it ended with Troy Baker singing the Bioshock Infinite song, which is really cool.
Which Bioshock song? The God Only Knows song? That's been around forever.
No, is that the one where it's, like, the chain will be broken?
Oh, yeah, no.
That was a good GDC. Jumping into, I think, there's really not much film TV stuff going on, besides we'll get some trailers going on. Because, I don't know, the industry's just quiet, which is kind of weird.
It's post-strike kind of
messages. I think now we're in that weird, yeah. Isn't there potential, like, another strike coming up soon?
Not one that would impact the industry the way that they had.
Okay, so it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, there's always a strike pending.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So I wouldn't worry too much about it.
No, that makes total sense.
It just happened that Writers Guild and SAG were timed in such a way that
it really
messed with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, jumping into, we have two things of wrestling thing that I want to talk about from last month. First being, I actually watched a bunch of AEW Revolution, which was obviously Sting's retirement. I just want to show that was, I think, a really good pay-per-view and how they treated Sting and the closing of him. It's kind of nice to see a wrestler retire who I actually feel might stay retired for matches and then also get treated like the respect they deserve. Because, like, Sting,
well, I mean,
I don't think there'll be 80 in a ring. Just going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Sting is always going to be the what could have been aspect of, you know, he was a WCW guy for life, right? Like, and then as soon as WCW went away, he was a TNA guy for life. So, you know, it was... Yeah, my game just crashed.
Yeah, Sting has to be, what, the most known non-WWE wrestler?
In the States, yeah.
Yeah, in the States. Asterix in the States. But, like, I'm trying to think of, like, I feel like for someone who is as infamous as he is, it is interesting how he never was in, like, WWE.
Yeah.
And I'm showing the lobby, by the way. And then the other one I shout out, which I was upsettingly last minute didn't go to because I got sick on Monday, which was the Raw at Allstate Arena in Chicago. And I somehow missed seeing The Rock because of that, which was annoying. And I'm like, so my friends went, and they said it was not a super wrestling type of show, but they said it was a very interesting show and very fun to be at just because of, like, how monologue heavy it was and how much they'd let The Rock just destroy Cody Rhodes.
The problem I'm having with this as I'm, like, dipping my toe in and haven't really been paying too close attention to it, is Rock's try to play heel.
Right.
Meanwhile, his public persona is this, aw, shucks, you know, happy-go-lucky dude. And it's just like, dude, you can't be putting promos you're cutting on your Instagram that is also advertising your skincare brand. You know, like, you just can't be doing that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. I'm going to be very curious how they handle it. And
also, I'm also intrigued because obviously, like, the show got very intense to a point where, like, I'm wondering if they're purposely, like, getting it more PG-13-ish kind of for the rise of them going to Netflix and can kind of get away with stuff they probably couldn't get with on TV.
Maybe.
Because, like, I'm not saying always, but I can see a world where if WWE's not on TV, they could be like, okay, what could we do? Or, like, have moments what you can you do. We will see there. Jumping into trailers, there's quite a few that kind of launched last month. The first one I'll start with, because obviously I think it's one you're least interested in, which is we got the Fall of TV show trailer, which comes out very soon. And even at the trailer, I immediately was like, I think they might actually know what Fallout somewhat is. We've got some clips later that make me a little more concerned. But I'm going to be very interested if Amazon can actually pull off this Fallout TV show, which at least at first glance, I think is at least passing the looks test, which is not true of every video game property I think we've gotten adopted. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that one.
I mean, I'll watch it, right? Like,
yeah.
Which I'll think curious. Is... Like,
I'll be very curious how they handle these stories, too, just because, like, the part of the Fallout world was never the main story that people... Like, people care about it, but not in that way.
Yeah.
It'd be like making a Skyrim thing. You'd be like, what's the story you're telling?
Yeah. It's definitely one of those where... You do kind of question, okay, what's... Why... Who, what, where, when, why, right? Is... Mm-hmm. The big thing. And I guess that's the, for me, the why is the question with Fallout. Like, does Fallout really need to be a TV show? I mean, No. Granted, if you're going to pick any of them, any game to do a TV show, Fallout's not a bad one.
Oh, no, because I think it being the world, I think it's very relatively easy to show in a, like, film, yeah. a TV show film. And I think, because we understand it, but I think you also do fun stuff with it. Because, like, a lot of it's so, like, physical effecty anyway that it works really well in a physical, like, that type of medium.
Yeah.
Because, like, in theory, you could either super CG this, or you could literally do the, like, strap stuff on them way, too.
Yeah.
That'd be very interesting. Speaking of stuff, though, that I don't think we need and I'm very intrigued by... Beetlejuice 2024.
Yeah, we don't need a Beetlejuice sequel. Like,
this is called, why are we making this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand at all who wanted this or thought this was a good idea.
You know what this is? This is a producer that's, like, in his early 40s at Warner going, you know what movie I loved as a kid? Beetlejuice. I have kids that are roughly that age. They should be able to experience a Beetlejuice of their own. It's like, no, just show them Beetlejuice.
Yeah, well, 100%. Just show them Beetlejuice. Like, what? I completely agree. So, yeah, that happened. There, the next one kind of on there, which I'm intrigued by, but I don't know if it's going to be good, is Penguin. I've been hearing some stuff that, like, makes me feel like there's a chance this film's actually good.
Show.
The show's actually good, but I don't know, kind of, did you have any thoughts on it? Because, like, to me, the big one that I think stood out was, like, how they're letting him actually look more like Penguin and act like him than, like, the movie did.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Odds one, it makes something good in that universe. But, like, Also, where does this universe fall, right? So the Batman thing is separate from the James Gunn thing, but does James Gunn still over, like, watch over it?
Yes and no.
Okay. And then, lastly, obviously, the trailer that I saved for last very purposely is the one that I'm pretty sure we're both the most interested in, which is part of the proof that we need to just clone George Miller, because Furiosa trailer has released, and oh boy, are we watching that? We're watching that film, right?
Yeah.
I think there's zero doubt in our head, right, that we were going to spend all of our time watching that film and having to watch Mad Max to prepare.
I mean, we're not just watching Mad Max, we're watching Shiny and Chrome.
Yeah, okay, that's the correct version of Mad Max at this point. I want to, whenever, like, I actually take, like, upgrade to, like, a super nice TV, that should be, like, the thing I tested on, right?
Actually, not really.
Hmm.
Because it's really only a great test of HDR.
Okay.
Because of it being black and white. Probably a better movie. Honestly, the color version of Fury Road would be a great one.
That is, I think Top Gun Maverick's a good one, but that's a good, like, audio showcase, I feel like.
Actually, no, you know the movie you need to test a TV on is Blade Runner 2049.
Yes.
There's so much neon in that movie that...
That it would just
it's
be
basically
amazing.
A requirement for a new TV.
So I have actually been debating, should I go back and watch that movie again, since I haven't seen it since we saw it and whatever that was.
It's so good.
Especially now that, like, I've seen so much more of his work, so I'm kind of used to how he does things, that I'd be curious kind of if I have a different impression of that film.
So. If you had never really gotten into Villeneuve's movies.
That might have been my first film of his. Because I think we saw that before Sicario or after?
Well, for me, it was significantly after.
Sure, but I'm trying to think, like, for me, because I think we watched, like, the first time I watched Sicario was because you said to watch it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, now we will jump into, I think that's all of it, honestly. Again, film is too quiet. We're jumping into already some game stuff. Oofta, oofta, oofta. Let's start with the saddest news I see you put up top. Sony's officially halting production on PSVR 2, and it's basically like, and it, with combined with the rumors that they're obviously bringing this thing to PC, do we think PSVR is long for this world? Like, at all?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that they're missing is the thing that they figured out for the first one, which is...
Games?
Being able to use it on PC.
Yes, right? No, that's, like, gonna be a big one.
You know, the PC capabilities are what kept PSVR 1 alive for so long. And honestly, what really drew interest for a second one. So.
I'm going to be very intrigued, because also I've not tried PSVR 2, but across the board I've heard is the best headset, like, just of what's out there, without going super high grade.
In terms of the headset quality, yes, the screen quality isn't the best, but...
Yeah. But, like, headset quality, I've been hearing, like, across as like a round deal, it's, like, yeah, the best out there.
Yeah.
So I'm be very interested if anything can happen with PC and all this stuff, because, like, even the list, they do, like, eye tracking, they do a lot of cool tech in it. So
yeah,
we will see. Next thing we got is Larian announced at GDC, which, as you can imagine, Larian cleaned up at the GDC awards, that they are officially done with Baldur's Gate, and even more, they are done with working with the Wizards, like, all together, and their plan is just kind of make their own stuff at this point. I think obviously it's a team that probably earned that leeway, probably with publishers now too, that they probably didn't have before, and probably with the industry. But the big thing to me there is still the, because obviously when Hasbro did those giant layoffs right after Baldur's Gate launched, but they got a giant chunk. I am very curious how much of this decision was the studio basically being like, we're not supporting them anymore, versus just dealing with the, like, licensing part of it. I don't know if you had any thought, like, with that, of, like, what in your head was, like, to them, like, the final straw?
They were probably just ready to do something different. They'd been working on it for so long.
Sure, but that's what, I still expect, I'm curious, I bet you they're still going to do, like, an RPG, like, that genre again. I'll just be curious kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I'll also be curious if they end up partnering with, like, someone else who does, like, a different type of tabletop system. And if they gamify that, or if they just kind of do their own. So. Yeah, that is, that's interesting. But
I
yeah,
mean, there's Larry, only so many ways that you can spin D&D.
That's true, but there are a lot of them, like, out there, yeah. Variations. And then breaking news from today that we were talking, that I thought should be talked about is, so we officially have the first ever union contract for developers at a major game company. So workers at Sega America, a division of Sega Sammy Holdings, is officially the first employees of a North American video games union that was a ratified contract. Some of the peak highlights from the story here at Bloomberg, including they had a 3% raise this year, automatic 3% raise next year, and a 2.6 in 2026 on top of a bunch of other benefits. It's wild to see this has happened, and it's obviously there's a few of the unions kind of floating in the background that they're starting to negotiate with. So I'm gonna be very curious how fast this kind of spreads throughout the industry, because obviously it's been a solid what, 5, 6, 7 years of people talking about this versus it finally happening.
Yeah, I mean, they screwed themselves though, because they you know, they could have had what cost of living as thing in their contract, not just a 3%, because I think they're based in San Francisco. Cost of living goes up way more than 3% each year in San Francisco.
It depends. If the rent keeps going down, then maybe not. But yeah, no, I completely agree. It's very interesting to me how they all, like, locked him in those numbers, kind of like that. And that also is part of the problem with this systems is, like, you are, like, because, like, a company, as you could imagine, won't agree to a blank check, and as a company owner, I probably wouldn't either. Like, independent of giving people raises, you don't agree to, like, a blind that. So it's very interesting with this stuff always, kind of, what's the line you can negotiate ahead of time versus, like, keep open.
Yeah.
So that is going to be big stuff there. This broke, I think, right before I left for GDC, and I think we should talk about is, so Warner obviously had their big earnings call, and they talking about the success and lack of success of some of their games, and Warner has basically decided that it is safer for them to make more live service things that fail because of the monetary turn than it would be for them to create more things like the best-selling game last year in Harry Potter.
I see where they're coming from.
I don't know. I like, from a risk reward, I could financially get it. It is still one of the most frustrating decisions they could have physically have sat and made.
Yeah.
Because, like, as the type of games we like, those are probably, like, it's going to be more of things we don't like in those games.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Also, like, it's also super torn because obviously we all point to, like, it's funny they said this after Harry Potter. But, like, at the same time, none of us truly believe Harry Potter is a repeatable success of, like, a bunch of IPs. It's just kind of maybe Harry Potter is a strong enough IP to do that with, too. So that's what gets super weird. But, yeah.
Well, and I think the thing that helped Hogwarts Legacy was, as much as people like to shit on J.K. Rowling, and I'm one of them, that's still one of the biggest media properties.
That's what I think makes it a very unique thing, because of, like, how unique it is comparatively to, basically, like, Harry Potter, like, TBH is the size of stuff like Star Wars and all that, of, like, the things we talk about all the time.
I mean, I would argue that it's bigger than Star Wars.
Do you think so?
In terms of pop culture right now, absolutely.
Sure, monetary value, I'd be curious. There actually might not be that far apart, honestly, but...
Yeah, in terms of what things draw, I mean, part of what makes Harry Potter so popular is it hasn't been ground to death the way that, Star Wars has.
Because we even saw, like, when they brought out those, whatever those, the movie things, and those were not the most well-received.
The movie things. Oh, Fantastic Beasts?
Fantastic Beasts.
I... The last one, I know it hasn't been viewed at very highly, but I mean, by all accounts, it was a popular franchise. Like, you know, it wasn't a dud.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It wasn't a dud. It was just kind of not the level, or even close to the level of Harry Potter. So, speaking of, this is just a string of developers we're going to yell at. Let's just stay in Warner Brothers a second, actually. This broke a bit ago, and it's still the most baffling of news, which is Warner is delisting basically all Adult Swim games on Steam. Which...
Well, it's not just Steam. I think it's every platform.
It's every platform, but it's mostly Steam is kind of where people get the notices from. They're letting some developers, I've heard, transfer the, like not just license, but like re-upload the game as a new Steam page and like republish it. But otherwise, it's basically your SOL if you're a developer and has had this game out for a while. Warner, what the flying hell? Like, we get you like deleting things. But this seems extreme even for them.
Yeah.
Like, I remember reading that and I was like, what? I didn't know they could do that. Like, in that way.
Yeah, it was certainly a... Like, I got into the story halfway scenario. Mm-hmm. And I was like... What's going on? Oh.
you were like, they could do what?
Well, it wasn't like, that. It was like... I kept seeing people talk about, like, Adult Swim games, and I'm going, you mean, like, the Rick and Morty games that weren't great?
They're, like, a decent-sized publisher. They were at the time, at least. Yeah. Like, a decent-sized publisher. And, like, a lot of, like, that indie stuff we got in, like, that mid-teens or late-teens era is them that people really liked. So... I'm hoping that basically all the developers are able to get their games out and be able to keep selling them. But, like, that is... I think it's very shitty for the developers, too. Because now they have to, like, redo all that stuff. They lose all of that back end. So. We will see.
Oh, yes, I didn't have to cheese that achievement. Thank God.
Let's jump into the next one, which is... EA's CEO is... I know EA is not the company it once was of people hating it. But they're really fighting. Their CEO has announced that their goal is to basically make 60% of the development process impacted by Gen AI, and that they want to increase game productivity by up to 30% using Gen AI and AI technology, which I am probably not pro it, but like more I see, like, there's some use case I can see, I go, okay, this is fine. That seems like the amount of numbers where I think people were concerned about, but also I'm going to stick with it as somebody who works this tech. I don't truly believe the tech is there to the level that these execs are running on screaming it is. Like, it's some stuff there, and there's some stuff repeatable and increasable. It is not I could fully replace artist level there, and anyone who's pretending it is hasn't actually worked with that stuff and knows what they're looking at.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if you have any thoughts of the impending doom of AI in the games industry and kind of what we're seeing execs talk about, especially this one.
The doom! They're going to do it, and everyone's going to hate them for it, and then they're going to find something else to bitch and moan about.
So. And then the question will be, like, I'm not saying, again... I think it will affect some people's jobs. I do. I do not think it's going to affect jobs in this level of magnitude, in this volume, especially in this short of a time, based on what we're seeing. Because a lot of other stuff kind of in the background of it, I go, I think, not that it's faked by any stretch, there's a lot of stuff there. But a lot of it also, you have to have someone who knows what they're looking at to like actually use that data and know how to talk with the AI and know how to actually get stuff out of it and is able to check it to make sure it's not like making something up that's horrible, which is a big thing too.
Yeah.
So we will... See there. Jumping into, I think this is the... Nope. We still have a few more of horrible execs. This is one that I'm pretty sure you were super excited about, and I was pretty okay with. Starbreeze has ousted their CEO, Tobias... Solgren?
Solgren.
Solgren. basically, because let's be honest, it probably wasn't solely, but like Payday 3 was the final straw, and it's, let's just say, not well financially received experience. Wow. The one game launch making an exec being like removed from a company is pretty damn wow. Yeah. Especially like something like that where like I feel like it was relatively easy for them to make a sequel that would have been decently well received.
Honestly, I don't even know how they would have made a sequel to Payday 2.
You just need more content. I can see, like, you up the... Like, at that point, it's old enough. I guess you could do a bunch of stuff, I think, to kind of like, make it look and play a bit better.
Well, but then you just... You have, like, an HD Payday 2, which that's fine.
They need to do, like... They need to do, like, the Hitman thing, where they just made it, like, a content window.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, sure, like, Hitman 3 launched, but it was in the... Like, at that point, it was part of Hitman and all. Like, that. They need to do something like that, I think, is what they really felt like they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, if they had a Payday platform... Which Payday 2 was a Payday platform. Like, it brought in missions from the first game, eventually. So.
Yep. Okay, so final, we have three, basically, layoffs, and one, I'd say, happy story. Where would you like to begin? Front, like, sad or the happy first?
Let's go with sad. Let's just... Take our cough medicine now.
Okay. First one. PlayStation back, Deviation Games officially closed. Which is wild. That's the studio, if you don't know, that was formed by a bunch of the Call of Duty execs, and they originally had a deal with PlayStation.
Yeah.
To create some sort of, not Call of Duty, but some sort, we all kind of assumed it was some sort of Call of Duty equivalent game.
It was going to be one of the live service games, yeah.
It was one of those secondary live service games, and it was by a bunch of execs and team that made, like, Black Ops and games like that. So, like, it was, like, a thing, like, we all, like, okay, there's a good chance here. Closed. Shut down. Which I think is very interesting, because, like, just a few years ago, they were actively talking about the amount of money they had and stuff. And I want to know how much they blew through that.
Yeah.
Because, like, how did that change? Because even if, like, they lost deals or deals changed, like, the amount of runway they were talking they just had in the bank and stuff...
I think it's that debt is no longer cheap. I think it's literally just that. You know, I wish it was a more...
I wish it was a better answer, but yeah. No,
better
you're
answer,
right.
But it's just that debt is no longer cheap.
And as stuff like interest rates rose, stuff like VC cash is harder to come by, so if you need another funding round, it's different. Yeah, no, it's gonna be very interesting to see kind of where they a bunch of them end up and kind of because I really like they're trying to get people out there and stuff, but yeah, it's rough as we said. The other one is so Valorant Studios announced a bunch of layoffs. They are the team that did Knockout City, for example, and the Mario Kart live circuit thing.
Apparently,
there was a game cancellation there, is what it sounds like, but. Oofta, that's a studio that I actually forgot about a bit, and I actually didn't realize they were in some level of financial strains, because it felt like the stuff they worked on was really well received and even money-wise made money.
I mean, Knockout City was kind of DOA, like...
But, like, that one, I felt like they'd figured that out by now, and I already accounted for that in their financing. But, like, the Market Circuit, I thought, actually did really well.
Yeah, and, you know, that was one of those games that... Nintendo was pushing for their mobilification, if you will, of their IP. And
then people liked it. Like, it was definitely one that I think I heard about.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. There was the Mario Infinite Runner. Or not Infinite Runner, but...
Man, you're talking about that. That was a super early one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then finally, of the insane stories, Rooster Teeth is officially shutting down. That one is...
That was the one where I was surprised.
But the wild part of the story is, if you read it, is apparently they had not been profitable since they were bought. That's the part that I think shook me of that story.
It didn't surprise me that much when you remembered, like, what all they were in, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, they produced two movies. Now, granted, I think they were at least one of them, if not both, was kickstarted. I think the other was on Indiegogo, but, you know, they were crowdfunded mm-hmm. projects, so they didn't have to take all the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But at the same time, it was still, I guess, because the amount of stuff they did, you'd think at some point their owner would be like, excuse me, where is this money coming from?
Yeah.
And I guess that's what kind of shook me about it. Because like, even so, like, we went to, like, Let's Play Live and all this stuff, but it's like, apparently it lost some money on that stuff. It's like, how is your, and you guys have had corporate ownership for so long, how would this, like, get past them?
Yeah, their ownership program, whatever you want to call it, something's up because, you know, I don't know if they were just smooth-talking Texans or...
Because, like, how does anyone who's, like, Warner, who, like, any of them who look for a while and, like, open up their books and go, yeah, this is fine. Like, I feel like the first thing I'd be like, we don't need this live thing then. Like, you start cutting the obvious stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Obviously, we're bad for people who lost their jobs, but... Yeah, that was a shocking one. But it made sense once you kind of dug into it. But it was a bit shocking at the moment. So, yeah. Final story, which I think... What, this is the good news one. Embracer has officially sold Saber and a bunch of teams with them to Saber / some, like, external investors. So at least they are escaping the great void known as Embracer Group.
Yeah.
And we hope them and their colleagues best in their newfound... Let's call it freedom. Is freedom a good term for that one?
So. Honestly, I have no idea.
But yeah, that is it. That is all the stuff that happened. Let's talk about games coming out soon. There's a bunch. Kind of, we actually some... The Turtles Arcade... It's the Turtles Wrath Games, which is basically the arcade collection, comes out to everything on April 23rd. Celebrate 26. Sony Saga Hellblade 2, the 21st of May. System Shock remakes coming to consoles on May 21st. F1 24, I'm assuming AJ's classic, May 31st.
Destiny 2, I haven't even played F1 23, honestly.
Huh.
I probably should at some point, but let's wait till 24.
Destiny 2, the final shape, I call it the pre-layoff experience, is coming out on June 4th. And then finally, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, comes out to everything on June 21. Like, there are more games. Honestly, this is still not the best in the world list yet.
And, I mean, also, we have to remember the... NCAA, most likely June, especially after Clapper, the literal last shot of the teaser trailer that they announced saying, hey, we're going to have something in May, has a date, and it's 6/7/24.
Yeah, because, again, once it gets on, they're all thrown on there. I'm just waiting because we have not had a date. I'll be interested if we really get that close without a date. Like, I think we should have soon if it's...
Which, I mean, that's a Friday.
Soon. Yeah, no, logically, I could see it. So we will see, but that is it. That is all we have been given. Unless you had something, I didn't see any April films that were of real note.
I'm attempting to.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Look at that. Civil War would probably be my
It go-to. Looks interesting, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be good or not, but we could do it. So Civil War.
I mean, it's got everything going for it, right? It's the director of Ex Machina, it's got Kirsten Dunst. Like, a lot of the movie should point to shit, it being good. The question becomes, all right, so everything says it should be good. Is that going to lull you into a sense of security and say, oh, well, it must be good?
Yeah, I'll be very, very intrigued on that one. So, yeah, but that is it. That's all we got.
Also, there's a movie called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Great name for a movie.
That is a great name for a movie. I'm not even going to lie, that's an amazing name for a movie.
So, yeah. We will be watching Civil War for Movie Club.
I'm hoping it doesn't have, Wheel One doesn't break out with it. That'd be the ultimate, like it was just like a week too early or something, it comes out.
Well, I've seen people say, you know, kind of early reviews, like, this movie's like 2 years too late.
Is that the one that like starts with the most unrealistic map of all time of like the Civil War lines? And I was like, excuse me?
I think so, yeah.
I remember people talking about, like, when that came out, everyone's like, what are these lines?
Yeah, it's like Texas and California teamed up together, yes. And you're like...
You're like, this is not happening.
And you're just like, I guess, like...
You're like, I'm pretty sure that if Texas would kill each other, if they're all Texans, they would definitely kill Californians. It'd be like saying that, like, Wisconsin, Illinois is on the same side if they get an option. It's like, really?
I mean, I think the Midwest would just team together and say...
No, we would just because we would want anyone else to. Like, it'd be one of those, we'd all, like, accept each other for that exact reason.
Yeah.
We'd all be like, we're not letting anyone else deal with this.
I mean, also, you have to remember, the largest militia in the U.S. is based in the Midwest, so...
Mm-hmm.
I love when people talk about, like... If the Civil War or like a war broke out or like the Hunger Games idea,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, everyone is forgetting Michigan's literally got a militia.
My favorite is one of those I saw is that there was one and they like divided the map east and west. And it was like the east included like everything like Dallas and east. And it's like the West Coast doesn't even have a half a second of a chance.
Yeah.
Like we still got Texas, Wisconsin, Florida. It's like, okay, we're just going to. Call this a day and pretend you guys have 2 seconds to live.
Yeah.
The only one I was concerned about on the list was the West Coast got Montana.
It's big enough.
But that's the one, that's the only one on that list I'd be like, okay, those are the people I'm a little concerned about. Everyone else, like, let's be honest here. Even like Nevada, do you think people in Wisconsin can handle Nevada?
Yes. Yes, because they would just push their way to Vegas. I mean, shit, Wisconsin already takes over Vegas for 2 weeks out of the year anyway.
That's what I mean. Like, that's like, it would be a nothing. Like, when you get north to, like, Washington, are we serious? Like,
Washington, I would worry about because Washington and Oregon have those West Coast hillbillies.
Oh, damn, that's true. They have those are some true crazy people.
Where, like, they're just tripping on shrooms the whole time.
And what's interesting about them is because they're not surrounded by people who, like, agree with them a lot of times, too. So it's like, they're the true top crazy who doesn't care.
Yeah. Like, at least our Appalachian hillbillies, like, they're good for making a damn good liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And driving in circles really fast.
But, like, they're not the ones who are going to mess with you. If you leave them alone, they'll definitely leave you alone.
Yeah, you leave them alone, you'll just get... plastic jugs of moonshine left on your doorstep. And you have to slip a 20 into the mailbox. That's about it.
Because they only take cash, and it's only the cash before the 1990s, before they added like something to it to track them or something.
Yeah.
We will see you next time. Hopefully without a civil war.
I don't know. It might be interesting.
The SWW Show and all of its affiliate podcasts are podcasts by me, Mike Maroney, and AJ Losey, sometimes by contributors, including Corey King. You can follow the SWW Show on social media at the SWW Show, or sooner or later you go to patreon.com/SWW. www to help us out. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.